Great.
So, this is Kevin Short, and welcome to the Think Outrageous Radio Show. Our guest today is Rosalinda Randall, civility and etiquette speaker, trainer, media source, author based in Northern California. Rosalinda has been spreading civility for more than 15 years. Lord knows we need it in these times. She shared her advice via television appearances across the country, radio interviews, publications, speaking engagements, and through her book, get this, Don't Burp in the Boardroom. So if that don't get your attention, I don't think anything will. So Rosalinda, welcome to the show. We're fascinated to listen to what you've learned over the last 15 years about etiquette.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It should be a fun show.
Absolutely. So kind of kick us off. What pointed you in this direction and made you want to study civility?
Well, it basically comes down to my upbringing. And I don't mean, you know, finger bowls and pinkies and all of that stuff. It was a very, very modest upbringing. But what I did get and I find more important and is what I focus on the most is the six traits, really, that I live my life by and model my business. And I think those are the most important things. And a couple of them are courtesy, tact, consideration of others, and so on. And I believe that practicing those things, if you're dining with someone and you pick up the wrong fork, they're either going to overlook it or not even notice because of the rapport that you're building with them, the respect within the conversation and the sense of humor. And I think those things are big. But I started out teaching this just on my own, and then I found a place, and there are many now, the Protocol School of Washington, to get trained and certified. And then just by being vigilant with the trends and watching television, I mean, that's pretty much all you need to do. And just hearing from people and studying, and then, of course, research and writing the book, it became business, going out to companies, primarily companies who are struggling with a particular issue, and maybe HR is uncomfortable addressing it, or they've addressed it a million times, and I go in and talk about it, you know, sprinkle some stuff around it, and then zoom in on the problem. But that's how I got into it.
So talk a little bit about etiquette today versus 15 years ago. It seems like the whole world is moving much more to a casual environment. Everybody's wearing jeans in the workplace and et cetera, et cetera. Are you seeing that across the board, that is etiquette less and less important today?
It seems so. However, it is more and more important today. You know, it's mm-hmm. Because we need that. I think when the society, and that's when people said, well, who makes these rules? And I said, well, there isn't like a group of little tight bund women wearing lace going, yes, this is what we want for people. It isn't that. It's society as a whole determines what is acceptable and what isn't. And that can vary, and the flexibility might be there depending on what region of the country or the world you're in. But again, when cell phones, you mentioned like 15 years ago, I guess they were there, but not as much as people use them today. And mm-hmm. younger people didn't have them as much. Those rules came up. We embraced the cell phone. But when we started bumping into people, or having, I should say, people bump into us as they're walking, looking down on their phone, and we have to part the C's for anyone who's texting, that's when society goes, okay, that's too much. Talking on your speakerphone for hours next to me at the restaurant, that we don't like. So we determine, again, as a society, what goes and what doesn't. Now, what I believe has changed is the lack of, I guess we should say, peer pressure or consequences. If someone is doing something that is against society's rules, let's just say, outside politeness, saying something to them, we at this day, to exaggerate the point, we could get shot. We could get yelled at the mm-hmm. very least, or none of your business with some cuss words in there. So people are less and less likely to give that look, and people are less and less likely to care. Whereas even 15, 20 years ago, people would get the look and go, oh gosh, I guess I'm bothering people, and care. And I think that has changed some. And I believe that, okay, so lack of consequence and the mentality of, I don't feel like it, I feel like it. this is where I'm comfortable. This fits me. This is good for me. There's a lot of that. Hence the casual dress, the I don't care what I look like when I go out in public or for an interview. And I think that's deteriorated. And that attitude is transferred into how we communicate with someone or the lack of communicating with someone.
Do you feel like there's a movement to political correctness? And part of that is this aversion to judging others. And this kind of falls right in the middle of that because, in effect, we're judging others because they didn't do something that historically would have been proper etiquette. Where is that line today?
I believe it's blurred. An opinion is considered a judgment or offensive to someone. So let's just even break it down. You cannot have an opinion about something. You may not even impose it, but it's just something that you consider, for example, going out to a fine restaurant. I'm not going to wear jeans, definitely not cut up jeans with flip-flops and tennies and or my yoga pants. I won't do that, but that's me. That's a choice that I have made. Whereas someone else figures what is the difference. And not that I would find that offensive, but if I would look at that person and go, oh, or find her in the restroom and counsel her, you know, maybe you ought to dress up or if it's a coworker or something like that. It's nobody's business anymore. And I believe that, I'm sorry, I got off track, where it comes down to personal image. And right. Personal beliefs and principles. And again, when you say people getting offended, it really is. We always judge, but we've been able to do so quietly. And now with social media and so many more avenues, we can share that judgment. And that's where we get in trouble. Have a judgment. I don't care. Just keep it to yourself. Nobody asks. Right.
I've even noticed in when people go into their place of worship, the way they dress, the way they behave has changed dramatically over the years. And in fact, everything's okay. So the lack of judgment seems to be getting in the way of accountability and just normal social graces.
And comfort. I get a lot, especially from the younger ones. I'm comfortable. I still do the job in my cargo pants. Why do I have to wear khakis?
Right.
Well, I have an answer for you if you want it, but you know, if it's not enforced, again, if the rules are not enforced, even HR policies that they sign on the first day of work and they have dress codes or behavioral guidelines and they are not enforced, people tend to, you know, give an inch, take a mile.
And right.
That's something to do with it as well.
So talk about some of the most common rude behaviors you hear about.
Oh, there's too many, but the most recent ones that I've heard about, one is and has been for a long time, not just socially, but now it is in the business world, lack of reply, lack of response to an email, to an inquiry, to a text, to any type of communication. People just don't respond. Whether they forget, it's not important to them, they don't care, it's their way of saying, no, I'm not interested. That is very frustrating. And, you know, when people do ask me, well, I'm not interested, why should I respond? Well, you're going to keep getting those inquiries. Don't you want to just cut them off? For that reason alone, I respond, thank you. Best wishes on your success. I am not interested. Thank you. And don't add at this time because you just left the door open for 2 months from now for them to right. contact you. But that is one of them. The other one I mentioned earlier is people on the speakerphone. Whether it's in the workplace, walking, pacing up and down the hall, and everyone is exposed to the conversation. And let's see, what is the other one? I know lack of hygiene and appearance and attire that looks like they haven't bathed in a couple of days. That is another one. And let's see. Lack of focus. When someone is having a conversation because they look away to see who else has come by, who else has walked by, and of course, their phone, just that little flashing light or the little signal, who is it? They may ignore it, but they just took attention and cut the conversation to glance over at their phone. Those are probably the top three that I hear about the most.
Well, what about in the workplace? Is it okay today to hug a coworker or can I pull out a female coworker's chair? For her, is that out of bounds today?
All right. There's so many ifs. Right. However, the general rule, if I were to say, I would say, no, don't pull out her chair. Don't help her with her coat. Don't run ahead of her to pull open the door for her. If you happen to be there first, great. Whoever gets there first holds the door, or, you know, at least doesn't let it slam in somebody's face. Now, if you are familiar with this coworker, you have a you know, somewhat of a workplace friendship with that person, and you feel comfortable, or she's holding, you know, her laptop and can't get to it, that might be something to consider. However, I would say, oh, would you like some help? As you do it, just as a courtesy to ask. And also, if it's in front of other people, it shows that you just don't automatically do that, because, you know, rumors start and people start talking. Oh, did you see how he pulled out her chair? And before you know it, you know, you're in love and getting married. So right. That's something to be aware of. And, you know, women that I talk to also, there are some, and I don't want to, I'll leave the labels off, but some of them are very, I would say, even militant, have a militant attitude about a man. Even if he reaches the door first, it's just common sense. Here, oh, I'm opening the door for another human being. They take that personally as a slam, that they're, oh, this cute little woman who should be wearing an apron and baking cookies. I mean, they go there. It's like, then I think the woman, and I'm going to say it, has the problem. You don't have confidence in your abilities and yourself, that you take that message when the gentleman didn't say that, didn't insinuate any of that. And to me, if I'd rather have a man even take a couple of, you know, little trot ahead of me to open the door, rather than having him let it slam in my face, pick one. And that's what kind of shuts them up for a little bit, at least when I put it that way.
Yeah, those are good tools. Why don't you give us some other tools on handling fundraisers and invitations and backhanded compliments and gossip and personal questions.
One at a time. Yes, right. It is. And you may have to remind me. But, you know, you also mentioned hugging. That's huge. And I know even recently Jerry Seinfeld was being interviewed by, I don't know if she was a singer or a celebrity of some sort herself. And she asked him if she could hug. And he said no, calmly. Then the second time she asked him no. And I believe it was the third time when he actually looked around, I guess maybe to his publicist or agent or something, says, why does she want to hug me? No, I'm not hugging, and walked away. Some people don't like it. Some people have different reasons, and it's none of our business. Some of it is cultural or even a religious standpoint. I was doing a speech, and this one woman, they happen to be salespeople, and she is Muslim. And said, I'm not allowed to shake hands with a man. How do I, you know, avoid that? And then there was a rabbi who said, I'm not allowed to shake hands with the women when I'm out networking. Well, how can I handle that? Hugging, is that the next thing? If you're uncomfortable hugging, you can say so. You don't have to go crazy and push them away and how dare you or anything like that. But you can, if you know this person tends to hug, or you've watched them in the networking or a company picnic or whatever, and they're huggers, be prepared. I always say, take a certain stand, lean forward, and have your hand extended. And the reason to lean forward is you've just also created that space. You can push them away. And if that doesn't work, if the hugger approaches you and, oh, well, you're hugged, privately, discreetly say, I'm really uncomfortable with hugging. If you're never going to see the person again, I say, you know, again, unless it's a religious conviction or belief, let it go. There's so many things that we can let go.
Right.
Okay. The next thing you said was what? Gossip?
Gossip. That's okay. A big one.
Yes. If the gossip, someone asked me recently, I overheard people gossiping about me. What should I do? You can do anything you want, really. But what is your goal? What is your point in bringing it up? Yes, you might be hurt. What if it's a coworker that you considered a friend, a confidant, and you hear them bad-mouthing you or chiming in or listening and not defending you, maybe even in the gossip? That might be something that either that will have told you so much more about that person. Maybe they have trouble saying no and they didn't mean it. Don't let a relationship die, especially, you know, it's so rare to find good relationships these days. Speak to them privately again, maybe the next day, that evening when you're not so stirred up or hurt, and say, I overheard this, and let them explain. That's one way of handling it. Or you walk in on them and you got to own this attitude. Walk in and just go, oh, talking about me, huh? Well, I'm flattered. Anything I can answer for you? You know, that just will shut them down for good. They're caught. You let it go. They probably will never do that again. You know, not about you. They'll pick someone else. And if you're the person that people come to gossip, or you're there and the gossiping starts and you really don't want any part of it, it's super simple. Get up and walk away. Excuse yourself. Make something up. Or, you know, if they come into your cubicle and you just go, oh my gosh, I got enough drama going on. I don't need any more. Something simple. You don't have to make a big federal case out of it. Mm-hmm. So those are just a couple of simple things to get away from gossiping or being a part of gossip.
I like it. What about personal questions? It seems like coworkers, maybe it's because of a gossip culture, but coworkers tend to ask a lot of personal questions. How do you handle that?
You know, and again, ladies may get mad at me, but I'm sorry, keeping it real here, is that women tend to get a little more personal as a way of getting to know each other, learning about each other. And I believe men differ in that. They want to know each other more in a business. Or who have you dealt with? Have you accomplished this? You stick more to business when you get to know each other, where women don't. And that's where sometimes nervousness, people who are nervous and don't know what to say, that's where the personal question comes out. So be open and see how they mean it. If they just come out and ask you something, I had a colleague who asked me point blank, how many times or how often do you and your husband have sex? Out of nowhere, in a business setting. And I just thought, wow, this is all you have to talk about. So I just said, that's not something that I talk about. And I moved on. The relationship was never really the same. But when you get asked personal questions, sometimes people, depending on who it is, they feel that compelled to answer, or they get so caught off guard that they answer and then they're mad that they had to answer. Well, practice, and especially for people who have trouble saying no and not answering every question, look in the mirror and practice and pick a phrase and stick to it and just say, I don't talk about those things, or I'd rather not talk, or that's a little personal, and change the subject. That's simple. Just keep it simple and don't get dramatic over something like that.
Excellent advice. Rosalinda, why don't you let our listeners know how to find you and your website? Where can they find your book?
Everything's on the website, rosalindarandall.com. Simple. Just get my Twitter. Everything's on there. So that's it, rosalindarandall.com. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and thank you to our listeners for continuing to think outrageously on the Think Outrageous radio show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Same here. Bye-bye.